if you're really looking for a title of this sermon, just tell Jesus about it.
All right.
Just tell Jesus about it. That's all. That's all it takes. My brothers and sisters, we come upon a very important, very strange scripture. This is Jesus' first year of ministry. And Jesus and his disciples go. You have Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. Goes, leave Capernaum and go down to Capernaum. Mm-hmm. And there in Capernaum, the Bible says that Jesus go up to the synagogues immediately.
Right.
And there Jesus go up to the synagogue and they were and get there and preach and teach, and everybody was amazed. Want to know what kind of new? They were amazed in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What new thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority, come on, he even the unclean spirit, and they obeyed him." My brothers and sisters, when Jesus get up to the house, get up to the synagogue, the Bible said that there was a man there that have a evil spirit in him.
Uh-huh.
And the spirit acting up in the man.
Yeah.
Ask the question, Jesus, do you come to destroy us before the time? I know who you are.
Yeah.
Verse 24 said, they said, "I know thee,"
yeah,
"who thou art, the Holy One of God." Yeah. My brothers and sisters, let me say something to you, because you may not think so, but Satan come to church every Sunday. I don't care how much song we sing, how much praise we do, how much the preacher preach, Satan come to church every Sunday. That's why before we preach, we have to pray and bind Satan ask God to loose the bands and the shackle of your people, that they may hear the word of God. Matter of fact, if you go to the third chapter, Jesus mentioned that in the 27th verse. So you have to bind. Can a man get into a strong man's house and spoil his house without he bind him? First, there are some folk that Satan have a strong old hand. And they may not even believe it or even know it, but by the way they act, crazy. Say crazy stuff. Do crazy stuff. Even in families. I don't know if you have them in your family, but I have them in mine.
All right.
How crazy. Come to your house. When my wife and I bought our home, and we prayed and asked God blessing upon the home, and said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, these doors swung on the inches of love, that everyone that come into this house will find some peace and some joy." That's what we said. And we try our best that everybody will come through those secret doors at my house or our home will find some love and find some peace and find some rest.
Yeah.
Amen.
The other day, my wife was recuperating. There are two people, two nurses, therapists, came to the house. And the last day when they were going to release her, I was not there. And the lady leave, how she thanked me and for the freedom she have when she come in the house to do what she do. Because in some home you get into, there's confusion. So she thanks me. But I said, it's not me. I just get out her way. Let she do what she come to do to my wife. So as we go on, and one more thing I need to say to you about my wife, and I'm going to leave you. Because may you think I'm preaching about my wife because she's not God. I'm not preaching. I'm not telling you something. She got operation on Friday. Saturday morning, Friday night, I slept there. You know those hospitals have those couch or chair or whatever that thing is for you to sleep in. And every time I get up on the thing, it keep going, and ease up, it keep going down back. It keep going back. Oh, boy, I'm going to have a rough night tonight. And I like my sleep. I'm telling you, I really like my sleep. I go to bed early. I like my rest. But that night, I didn't rest at all. Because every time my wife turn, I turn. I get up and look and all that stuff, and nurses coming in and doctors coming in, and in the Saturday morning I leave and go home to my home, and when we get back, they have her sat up in the chair on Saturday for a long time. I said, how long they have you sitting here? She said, long. So now I said, they need to put you back in the bed. So they want to put her back, but the nurse couldn't take her, so they run and get some guys, about four guys, big guys. Roll the bed, the couch close to the bed. And up enough, one of the nurse comes before. And that same thing that I slept in that she sat in, she released it and it dropped on my wife's cream. I think my wife says 52 staples. And I thank God for salvation. I'm just telling you. I really do. Because my mouth hoping to say something. Oh, but I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Because I was going to cut loose. Because here this woman had a excruciating pain, and she dropped the thing. Every hair that leave in my head, stand up. But thank God for prayer. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Right. But I know I've said it already, but I'm going to say it again. But after Jesus got up there, listen, Mark is a guy that cut to the chase. Mark don't hold back at nothing. He don't tell us about Jesus' birth and all that stuff. No, Mark just cut to the chase that everybody can understand what he's saying. And for a guy like me, I like to understand things real quick. I don't like, sometimes my wife and I talking and she take me around Springfield and come back to where we live. I don't like that. Tell me what you're going to tell me, then I will work out the rest of stuff. That's the way I am. I'm not saying nobody's like me, but that's the way I am. I like to get it real. But Jesus, here, Jesus and the disciples go to church, and everybody was amazed, and they spread it abroad. I never see a man like this, because none of the scribes or the Pharisees ever speak like this, because now we hear a word that is a life-changing word. Quick word. It wasn't a long word, but it was a quick word, because in verse 28 of chapter 1, it said, "And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee." Yeah. All them 250 towns that the Romans divide up the place, everybody heard about this man of Galilee, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that's what Jesus said in verse number 14. Where Jesus said, "Now after that, John put into prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Jesus came to preach the word that you and I may receive it and have life and have it more abundantly. I like to live this great abundant life, because one of these days when this life is over, we're going to get out of here. I don't know how soon. I don't know what's going on. But to me, I believe it's not long now. The shadows are drowning in now. We're down in Bishop's office this morning, and Minister Shear said this. Last Friday, there was no school in the state or in Springfield. And down on the West Coast in California, there was no school, because the smog was so thick that they have to let the people and the kids stay home. In that same thing, when the shooting was down in California, I heard a lady on television said, "I don't want no more prayer. Nobody send me no more prayer. I just want a gun restriction that they don't have." Because her son that was over there in Las Vegas when that shooting take place over there, now her son get killed. Wow. I want no more prayer. I don't know if she's a Christian. I don't believe so, because I don't think no child of God would say they don't want any more prayer. But when I think about that, and I sat in my car, and when I heard that and read it off of my telephone, now I start to pray for her. That God mercy come upon this woman, because out of her anguish and her pain, she shout out, "I come against God, the one who can deliver her." Don't want no more prayer. Then I kept on reading last week. Then one from paradise. I say to myself, I could see women just share like California, because there's a paradise in California. I didn't know there was a paradise in California. But this person, this lady and her husband who live in paradise, said that they drove through hell to get out. And I don't know what hell is. All I know that one of these days, if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, whoever it is who don't receive Christ will go to hell. Because you have to ask Dives down someplace there begging for a drop of water to come and cool his parched tongue. Hell is a serious place, my brothers and sisters. It's not a figment of your imagination. Hell is a serious place that the devil and his demon is going one day. On the chain up down there. But they drove through hell. A wife and a husband. And four kids. One is 8. One is 6. One is 7. One is 8. One is 7. One is 2. And one is 1. Drove to fire and both sides. Some people didn't make it. I watch on television, and there some lady were driving and praying. that God, the hand of God and the mercy of God will lead them through. We live on the East Coast where we just have snow. And when we have snow here, we have snow here. But understand, my brother, and think about it. We're fire on both sides. And you have to drive through there. But back to the scripture that we just read. In verse 29, Jesus came immediately, or forthwith, came to Peter's house. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. If you study the scripture, you always, when something great are Jesus going someplace, he always have Peter, James, and John with him. But now we got a fourth one, Andrew. Andrew is the one who introduced Peter to Jesus. If you read over there in John's Gospel, beginning at the fourth verse, all the way to verse 42, because I believe to me that Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. I'm not sure, I believe it. And I know that he heard John the Baptist preach, because when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who take away the sins of the world," I believe that something changed in Andrew. Because he goes to and find his brother Peter and say, "We have found the Messiah." The one who interpret Christ. We have found him. And he take, bring him and introduce him to Jesus. And Jesus changed his name, say, "You are a cheap ass, or a stone." Change his name. But he goes to Peter's house. I want to ask you this question. What about your house? Is Jesus at your house? Or can Jesus come to your house? What would Jesus find if he come to your house? Most of people, if we want to come to their house, if Bishop Call or Reverend Dixon or one of these preachers calls, say, "We want to come and see you, how you're doing, because we know you was in the hospital for a couple of days or something going on." Folk would say, "Well, you cannot come till 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. Then we start to push stuff under the table and start to push stuff under the couch and start to clean up here and start to clean. Listen, we're not coming to your house to see if your house was clean or not, or you have liquor. We're not coming, or have some weed or something. We're not coming. We're just coming to pray with you." Whatever you have at your house, that's between you and God. Amen. Because if it's not supposed to be there, you're not supposed to be there. Here we have Thanksgiving coming up, and family coming in, and folks cleaning and dressing up and painting and all that good stuff for their family to come across country. But I want to ask you, is there any love in that house? Amen. Is there any peace in that house? Is there any joy in that house? That when your family come in and your in-laws come in, they will find some peace and find some joy. Here the Bible said that when they get to Peter's house, and Peter's wife, mother, have a fever. Let me read it for you, because maybe you didn't hear it the first time. Verse 30 says, "But Simon's wife, mother, lay sick a fever and anon they tell him offer. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Whatever your situation is, tell it to Jesus. Whatever you're going through, tell it to Jesus. We have some of these children out in the far country and want them to come back to church and then tell it to Jesus. We have some of the family members on drugs. Tell it to Jesus. Some wives on alcohol. Tell it to Jesus. Some husband on alcohol or on drugs at home. Tell it to Jesus. You argue with him or you argue with her. Somebody, maybe even this morning, that somebody leave here, come leave home to come here to find some peace and some joy, because at home there is hell going on at home. No joy at home because he's not doing right or she's not doing right. And every time you talk to them, you get mad, acting up. But at Peter's house, my brothers and sisters, there are great things happening at Peter's house. There are some great things happening at your house? Could there be some great things happening at Peter's house? They say, and I keep going through, what's that word mean? What is anon? And yesterday, I have to take up the Thompson chain and go to page 452. Just to find what that meaning of anon mean. Immediately, at once. Yeah. And Bishop, that Bible that you blessed us with, it was right in the margin. At once was right in the margin and all. But my wife said, you're doing too much. Because why I cannot understand what this word is? Anon. Immediately, as they told Jesus about it, he moved. All I'm saying to somebody, whatever your problem is, tell Jesus about it. Yeah. I sat there and look and see Sister Nahud walks in. Amen, amen. With her family and one of her daughter that was down there last Sunday morning when my wife and I get down to the hospital. And we read scripture and started to pray. And she wanted to show me pictures that the state that she was in. But God, won't he do it? Won't he do it? I believe in God. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the healing power of Almighty God, that whatever we need and ask God for, God will do it when you believe God. God is not a boogeyman. God is not Santa Claus. God is God that sits upon his throne of mercy and look down upon us. Immediately, Jesus moved at Peter's house. Every time Jesus go to somebody's house, something happened.
Uh-huh. All right.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see you go to Matthew's house and you sit down with tax collectors and all those who cheat the government. Something happened there. And I look around and I see he went to Zacchaeus' house. Matter of fact, Jesus look up and say to Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must be at your house. And you keep reading down somewhere about the 9th verse in the 19th chapter of Luke. So salvation has come to this house. Is your house ready for salvation? What is going on? Is there anything going on in your house that the presence of God cannot come in? Right. Is there anything that out of the will of God? Is there any sickness in your house that you want God to deal with? Here, Peter was at church. And Peter here, one of the greatest sermon ever preached. Peter was happy and go home. And when Peter, I don't know if when Peter leave home, his mother-in-law was sick. But I know when Peter get there, there was no cell phone to call and find out what's going on for Peter's wife to call. Because here, my brothers and sisters, this is the first place I see that the disciples, in the life of the disciples, because here, Peter have a wife. I know there is a religion, great, great religion, that said the priest they're not to marry. But I say to you, if the priest that did marry, we wouldn't have some of them mess that we have now. Some of them little boys would be free. We wouldn't have to be praying for them so hard for them to come back to their right mind. But Peter, who they said was their pope, their first pope, he was married. So if he was your first pope and he married, why not they married too? I don't know if Peter mother-in-law was a Christian. I don't know if she did believe in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. But I know that Peter's wife go on a trip sometime with Peter. Because if you read in 1 Corinthians, Chapter 9 and verse 5, Paul talk about it. So we have power over our sisters and even our brother Chiefas, his wife, travel with him. So when we travel and our wives travel with us, because they're supporting the ministry and they're supporting the ministry when we go to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Here at Peter's house, great things happen at Peter's house. And before we get to chapter 2, where Peter's house was broken into, something take place at Peter's house before they break into. Because at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law lied there with a fever. Matthew said that Jesus touched her. Luke said Jesus rebuked the fever. And Luke said they besought Jesus about her. And Luke is right. Matthew is right. But I love Mark, because this Anon is immediately, at once as they told Jesus, he touched her. Does anybody need a touch today from God? Is anybody here come to church and don't know the reason why you are here? You just come to church, but God wants to do something in your life today. If you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, God wants to change you. Because we can preach about healing, that's good. But Jesus preached about salvation. He preached at the church first, then at the synagogue first, then he goes to Peter's house. And heal Peter's mother-in-law. He healed the man at the synagogue. Heal Peter's mother-in-law. Is anybody here in need of healing? Is anybody here sick? Is anybody here going through some pain that you need a touch from God Almighty to touch you? What is it you're going through? Heart problems? Tell it to Jesus. Is high blood pressure? Tell it to Jesus. Is sugar diabetes? Tell it to Jesus. Is your children in the far country? Tell it to Jesus. Is your wife not acting right? Tell it to Jesus. Is your husband not having right? Tell it to Jesus. Is your children getting crazy? Tell it to Jesus. It is your job? Tell it to Jesus. Is your money not working right? Tell it to Jesus. Whatever it is, tell it to Jesus. Sick in your body? Swelling in the feet? tell it to Jesus. Yeah. Minister shared, I saw your son upon Sunday come into this house of God, preaching, singing. All when you're going through pain, and some of us don't even know. But as I was studying this scripture, the Spirit have me to talk to God for you. And when I get up in the morning, 2 o'clock, and start to talk to God for your healing and for your deliverance, because I believe in the power of prayer, and I believe that whatever I ask God for, God Almighty will deliver. I believe it. I believe it. I see you send out texts. Texts upon texts. Who is sick and who we want to pray for. But I never see you send out ones to pray for me. You're just going through. Once in a while I may hear you be in the office and you say you're not feeling good. But we believe God. That the same hand that touched Peter, mother, and law, that same hand, that same power, that same deliverance, that same healing will come to your foot. Same God. He was the same God yesterday, and he's the same God today. Whatever you're going through, tell it to Jesus. He will do it. He will do it. Yes, he will. If you believe him, yes, he will. If you sold out for him, yes, he will. I believe in the power of Almighty God that whatever we bring to him, he will do it. Yes, he may speak. Luke said, Jesus rebuked the fever. That tells me that this fever was not just an ordinary fever. It was a fever of the enemy. Want to mess up the man of God house. Mother-in-law lie there sick. I could imagine Peter's wife maybe praying, going around, don't know what to do. But when Peter come in with Jesus, oh, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the mighty God, Jesus, Mary's baby, Lily in the Valley, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi. When he come into the house, something going to happen. I'm saying to you this morning, open your heart to Jesus Christ, and he will come into your heart and will set you free. I don't know what nobody here is going through, but I know that Jesus Christ, who came down through 42 generations, who walked the street of old Jerusalem, that one day I can walk the street of new Jerusalem. That same Jesus who would have whooped all night long and who would have taken a nail to the cross and hang him high and stretch him wide. And there Jesus looked down upon them and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And there were two fellows hanging, one to the right and one to the left. Keep on arguing and arguing until one come to his right mind and say, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I want to say to somebody today, whatever going on into your life, will you tell it to Jesus and let him heal you today and let him sets you free today. Do you want to go to paradise? That great place. There was nowhere where there is no confusion. There is no sickness. There is no pain. There is no heartache. Sister, now there is none. In this church, we have seen people laying Bay State, laying Mercy. Doctor gave them up. Bishop and I go down, laid hand, healing comes. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Reverend Dixon go down, the preacher go down, lay hand, deliverance come. Because we trust God. We trust God. I do not care what you're going through. If you are here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I say to you, my brother, I say to you, my sister, just lay down and tell it to Jesus. He will deliver you. Salvation is here. Deliverance is here. Peace is here. Joy is here. Freedom is here. He who bear our sickness and our grief, that great prophet Isaiah, say these words, and I'm going to take my seat after I say them to you. Surely he had borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But, yes, God. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. And with the chastisement of his peace, we are healed. With his stripes, we all were healed. No sickness can touch you if you believe in God. No sickness, nothing can prevent you when you believe in God. I don't care what the devil brings. You just believe in God and talk to God. Tell it to Jesus. Whatever it is, tell it to Jesus. I'm getting ready to take my seat now, but there's something I read that I want to talk to you about. Because look what happened after what take place at Peter's house. Because of what Jesus did from verse 21 to verse 28. After he read, he spread all over. The Bible said they brought all who were sick and laid them at the door. My brothers and sisters, this was a Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day from 6 o'clock Friday evening until 6 o'clock Saturday evening. But they waited because the Pharisees and the scribes say, if you do anything on the Sabbath, you break it. So they waited. Jesus rebuked the devil on the Sabbath day. Let them know that compassion. You so crazy about the Sabbath, but what about compassion for he who lay there? But what about us? From Saturday evening, after the sunset, the Bible says all who come, Jesus touched them. Gave me to think about. In Genesis, chapter 1, somewhere about verse 5, he said the evening and the morning was the first day. So if the Sabbath closed at 6 o'clock, could Sunday start 6:01 and Saturday evening and the first day of the week that we are here? So is Jesus teaching these disciples who are about to take, going to take over the church, who are going to run the church, said, you, even what I did on the Sabbath day, you do the same thing on Sunday.
All right now.
I don't know. That is just me. Right. That is just me. But I get a little crazy sometimes when I read the word of God because I got to think about that. So at the same time, Peter's house become a church. That folk can get healed and get delivered. Maybe somebody come here this morning, you don't even know why you come to church. But you are here. Your deliverance is here. Your healing is here. Your salvation is here. Your brokenness can get healed. Your loneliness can get healed. All the illness of your life can get healed. Are you ready for your healing?
Yes.
Are you ready for your miracle?
Amen.
I was in my house and I got up early in the morning. after I read this word, and I can hear the Spirit saying to me, "For I have touched the hem of his garment, and I know that he made me whole. It is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus. Is Jesus. Ah, so is anybody want Jesus? Stand to your feet if you want Jesus. Stand to your feet and give God glory. It is Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Come on, come on, minister Sharon Bishop, I hear you sing.